17 verses here in just one moment. And the conversation taking place between Moses and God. God has called Moses to be the spokesperson to deliver the children of Israel from the captivity in Egypt. And as God has told Moses to do that, Moses has some objections, some excuses to make. And he really, if you listen to what he has to say here, he really doesn't want to do this. And I can surely relate to that. I think most of us probably can think of some things God has asked us to do that we didn't really want to do. Isn't it funny that when you go ahead and do what God said, you're glad you did, right? You know, God wants you to do something and you're reluctant to do it. Maybe God's been moving you to witness to somebody, to witness to a friend or to witness to a neighbor or a loved one. And you just didn't want to tell them about Jesus. You were afraid of what they might say. But then after you did tell them, you were so glad you did. Or maybe bigger things. Sometimes God moves us from one city to another, from one job to another. In my case, God's moved me from one church to another on two separate occasions. And it's not easy. It's no fun moving. It's no fun. It's difficult to go to a new situation where you don't know people. You're not sure what to do against all these challenges and so forth. But after you've done it, you're glad you did. I can tell you, when you step into eternity, you will not regret obeying God. You'll regret the times you didn't obey God, won't you? And so Moses, think of the people in the Bible like Moses that are household names, I would call them. They're names that we all know so well. We use them over and over and over again. Joseph, Moses, Isaiah, Paul, Jeremiah, people, Peter, for example. And many of those people, for example, Moses, for sure, Paul, for sure, Isaiah, for sure. Many of those people, the Bible documents how God called them, what he did to call them. God has a call for your life. Amen? There's some things God wants you to do. First of all, I think I know everybody here tonight, aren't you glad we received Christ as our Savior? Amen? Somebody had a call. Some person God called to reach you, and they did. Aren't you glad they did? And we could all, tonight, we could probably, each one of us could give a testimony of that person that brought us the gospel and that time when we received the gospel. And wouldn't it be, how could you even imagine the Bible without the people like Moses and like Isaiah and like Paul, these people that God called? And none of them had an easy job. Moses was leading over 1 million people through the wilderness. And folks, there were no cities to go. There were no motels to go to. There were no restaurants to eat at. There were no great places to find water and so on. This was a, what we used to call when we went camping like this, a primitive camp. You took with you everything that you needed. We actually used to do church camps like that where we would go out and take everything we needed. That's a lot of work. Led 1 million people 40 years in the wilderness, and not just any people, but stubborn people that kept saying, no, I don't want to do what God said. And oh, you brought us out here to kill us, Moses, and fussing with him every step of the way. But he's one of the greatest characters in the Bible because of what he did. And even the Jews in Jesus' day, you couldn't say anything bad about Moses. They wouldn't tolerate that. But before he could get them into the wilderness, and they didn't have to stay there 40 years, by the way. That was their fault. They could have gone into the promised land. We'll look at that when we get there. But before he could get them into the wilderness, they had to be delivered from Pharaoh. And God had a plan. God always has a plan. God always knows. Nothing did ever occur to you. Nothing ever occurred to God. God's never surprised. The situation never There's no red phone in heaven. There's no emergency panic button in heaven. God exactly knows what he wants to do. Nothing is unexpected by him. But when Moses went to Pharaoh and says, let my people go, no, we're not going to do that. And all of that came about because Moses was willing to let God use him. But here in chapter 4, you really get to know him a little bit. And just one more thought by introduction before I go to the passage. Folks, God uses ordinary people. You think, wow, Moses was, he was just a giant Christian, and he had so much faith. And no, God uses ordinary people. He uses people like you and I. He uses people with weaknesses. He uses people that are, as in chapter 4 here, that are reluctant, that are hesitant, that make excuses. Lord, I don't want to do this. God uses people like that. And God can use you. And remember, the Bible says, when we're weak, he's strong. That his strength is made perfect in weakness. And the good news there is, when it's all over with, you can look and you can say, God gets the glory. I couldn't have done it, but God did. And you'll see that happening. I would say this, the first 8 or 9 months that we were here, the last half of 2016, the first few months of 2017, it shocks me. We would go for weeks with no visitors at all. On my desk, back then, I usually keep the visitors' cards on my desk, and there were none. And there were none. And there might be one card every 5 or 6 weeks, and then that lead, you know, wouldn't work out. Nobody. Did you see today what a blessing God was to us? We had many, many visitors. And, oh, by the way, we would go invite in folks in one area, but God sends them from somewhere else. And it was so extraordinary that first few months that we were here, I was starting to get worried because I just didn't see God blessing. But the Bible says in due season, at the right time, if I can say it that way, you will reap if you faint not. Keep on sowing. Just keep handing out tracts. Keep witnessing to people. Keep praying. And God will bless. God is a gracious God. So God uses people that are less than perfect. And you're going to see some of Moses' imperfection tonight. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. And I'd like to read Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. And then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it. Now watch these words, this is interesting, by the tail. Folks, you don't handle snakes by the tail, right? And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand in thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put it, he put his hand into his bosom again, and he plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. In verse 10, the Bible says, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, this is his third excuse, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a God, or of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. In verse 18, Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight. God, thank you that when we read the word of God, that you promised us it never returns void. And Lord, I pray for these people tonight that as they have come here, that you would meet with them through the Bible and speak to them. Help us to all learn some things tonight that would encourage us, that would strengthen us, that would give us direction. Lord, help us never to doubt what you have to say, and help us to see the reasons for it. Pray that we would not add to or take away from the Bible tonight, but we'd simply see what's there, and that you'd help us to learn some things from this passage. We pray that you'd bless us now and the remainder of our time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Moses made three excuses, and I'm going to read them to you, and then we'll look at them one at a time. The first thing he said is probably something all of us have thought when we were going to go soul winning, or when we were going to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, they're not going to believe that I heard from the Lord. You've probably recently heard that a wicked TV show hostess had mocked our vice president for saying he hears from God. Folks, you can hear from God every day. And oh, by the way, you can hear specifically from him. And I realize that lost folks don't hear from him. I got that figured out. But I want you to know something. God will give you detailed instructions through the Bible. I hope that you, in your life, can tell some stories about the times when God led you specifically. I have some verses. I have too many Bibles. I have this one that I preach out of. I actually leave one Bible here at church. I decided a long time ago that traveling a Bible back and forth to church tears it up quicker, and I like for them to last a long time. I don't like to have to rebind them and so on. So I keep one here. I've got notes in it. I've got three or four at home. I got notes in them. But in some of my Bibles, this one, for example, I've had this Bible now for, I don't know, at least 15 years, I think. I've jotted down the verses. I underline them, make notes beside them of the verses God used to speak to me. One example, just a simple example. I was getting ready to go. I had received a phone call to candidate at the church in Maryland. And I did some investigation about the church just a little bit, read some things on the internet, talked to some people, and the fella called me back and I said, look, I don't think God wants me to go there. I said, I just don't have peace about it. And he said, well, I've got perfect peace about it. He said, let's do this. Let's fast and pray this weekend. And then Monday we'll talk and see, you know, what the answer is. And so Saturday afternoon I was reading my Bible and I read a verse in Proverbs that says, it's a fool that decides a matter before he hears it. And I thought, that's God talking to me. And what God's saying to me is, you need to go to Maryland and find out instead of just deciding without knowing. I bought a house one time because I got direction from the Lord. I resigned as a pastor of a church one time. I got direction from the Lord. And there are other examples that are less significant than that in my life. But I heard the tail end of Brother Hickson's Sunday school lesson this morning. He made a very wise comment. Is folks, we let the Lord make decisions for us. Had a couple come to me one time. They wanted me to conduct a wedding ceremony. And I told them, I said, this is what a godly wedding involves. Now, the couple of young ladies here that aren't married yet, so maybe you can learn from this. And here's the story. When you get married, you want to honor God. Amen? So you, for example, you want to have godly music. You want to have godly attire. You want to be dressed godly and not dressed like the world, suggestively, and so on. And when you have a reception, now this goes without saying, you're not going to go have a wedding reception and drink. That's crazy. And you're not going to go have a wedding reception and have worldly music and dance to it. That's not what Christians do. And I made a list of these things, and I gave it to this couple. And I kind of heard through the grapevine what their plans were. And I was very distressed about it because as a pastor, you don't want to tell a young couple in your church, I'm not going to marry you. I'm sorry to say I've had to do that at least two times where I said, I just can't do that. But I talked to a man and I asked him for some counsel and he gave me a very good piece of advice. He says, what you do is you decide to do what God wants. And you tell folks, I'm going to do what God says. And then they can decide whether or not to join with you. He says, it's not really your decision as to whether or not to conduct this wedding. Simply tell people, I'm going to do things the godly way. And if you'd like to have me involved in your wedding, then let me know. And if you don't want to have a godly wedding, then don't let me know. And let me know you don't. And I misspoke three times. I've had to tell people, I'm sorry. But I'm going to do it God's way, and I'm sorry that you don't agree with that. Folks, we got to do it God's way. The question is not, am I going to sin to accommodate somebody? The question is, I'm not going to sin. Are you going to join me? Amen? That's the way it's got to be. So the rabbit trail here is when you start to look at doing God's will, you let God make those decisions. Moses is doubting whether or not the people are going to believe him. What if I go to these people and I tell them that I heard from God? What if you were to go to your loved ones and say, this is the word of God? You say, well, oh no, what if they don't believe it? Well, I know this. It's the word of God. Amen? And I stand on that. And they need to know that I stand on that. And then perhaps that would help them. How many of you are getting cold? Anybody else here getting cold? Mike, I got a couple with blankets on. Can you help me out a little bit there? I'm never comfortable. I'm always either too hot or too cold, so I'm not a good reference point here. So looking at verse 1, here's Moses' first excuse. He says, they will not believe me. Let me give you the three. I promise to do that. The first one is they won't believe that the Lord spoke to me. The second one is I can't talk well. And the third one is somebody else could do it. That's what he says there in verse 13. He says, send by the hand of whom thou wilt send, but the implication is, but not me. You know, we always think that. Somebody else will do it. Well, let's look at that first one. He says in verse 1, Moses said, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, that sounds like a reasonable thought. In other words, we've experienced that. Brother Hickson and I going door to door. We've come across people, others of you that have gone door to door, and we've knocked on a door, and people don't think God sent us. Folks, God sent us. It breaks your heart that many times these people, not just hundreds, but thousands of doors that we've knocked, many of times these people are going to wake up in hell and realize God sent somebody to me with the gospel, and I rejected them. And that's why I'm in hell. And you can't take any pleasure in that thought because you wouldn't want your worst enemy to go to hell. But when Moses says they won't believe, just remember, God already has a solution to the problem. And oh, by the way, if they don't believe, that doesn't make it any less true, does it? And if they don't believe, that doesn't make the message any less important either. It's very important. What Moses is about to do is very important. Now, let me ask you, why is it important? Because God said, do it. In this case, it happened to be a big job with millions of people involved and a lot of implications. God's going to bring down the greatest power on earth, Egypt, in order to deliver his people. This is a big job. But if God asks you to do a small job, is that important? Amen? There are people in the Bible that seemingly had very, very small jobs. But if God gave you that job, that's important. To whom much is given, much shall be required. The inference is, to whom little is given, little shall be required. But whatever it is, we sing the song, little as much if God is in it. Whatever it is, do it and God will be blessed. So Moses says, they will not believe me. He says, they will not believe that the Lord hath appeared unto thee. And so from verse 2 all the way down to verse 9, the Lord gives Moses three signs. Now, I am very sure Brother Hickson could come up here right now and tell you the significance of each of these three signs. They are interesting signs. There are some symbols here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing that. In fact, I'm not sure I can do it accurately. God did not show me that this week as I was preparing this message. There's some things that are rather obvious. The first sign is Moses has a rod in his hand. And in verse 3, the Lord says, cast it on the ground, and that rod became a serpent. Now, when I think of a rod, you typically think of something that has to do with ruling, like the shepherd has a rod and a staff, and they're used to get the sheep to go where he wants them to go. A rod could somehow be a picture of the law. And the serpent is always sin. When you see a snake, that's sin. In the Bible, the serpent is sin. That's the picture it provides. And folks, the law certainly became our condemnation, did it not? We broke God's law and we were condemned to die. There's a picture of the gospel here is what I'm trying to tell you. And the first part of that is that the law became something that condemned us and that sin became something that cursed us. God gives Moses this miracle and he says, throw the rod on the ground. And then he says, now, pick it up by the tail. Anybody here that does like snakes, my hand is not up for that reason. I do not care for snakes. We had a fellow in our church in Maryland, in Utah. If he even saw a snake, if he saw a snake at that back door, he'd run out that one as fast as he could go. He was scared to death of snakes and screaming as he went, probably. I used to be in the National Guard. I was an infantry platoon leader. And we were on maneuvers in South Texas in a training range that we had down there. And I was a platoon leader, so I had about 30 men underneath me. And there was this one man named George Gonzalez, and George was always in trouble. And I spent half of my time working with George and turned him into a pretty good soldier, I thought. But George Gonzalez, one day, some guys came to me and they said, hey, you got to come see George. And so I walked over to where George was, and this is South Texas. George had caught a rattlesnake, and he was holding the snake right behind the head. So the snake's head is sticking out of George's hand, and the snake has literally disjointed his jaw trying to bite George, and he's rubbing the side of his mouth on George's thumb trying to bite him, but George has got him good. And he's holding the snake out like this. George was about 6 feet tall, about like me. And the snake's tail's dragging the ground. That's how big the snake was, a rattlesnake. And he says, Lieutenant, look what I caught. Lots of questions come to your mind. Why? What were you thinking? He said, Lieutenant, how did you catch it? He said, it was easy, Lieutenant. I just came up behind it and grabbed it. And then I said, well, George, how are you going to get rid of it? He said, I don't know yet. And he's got this snake out there. He's holding the snake. And this is when being an officer is not so much fun. And I thought, no. I said, okay, get rid of the snake. And I just left. And he must have done a good job because they didn't take him to the medics or anything. And certainly, I'd think step two is kill the snake, right? But anyway, you don't grab a snake by the tail. If you grab a snake by the tail, you get bit. God said, grab the snake by the tail. And there's some faith involved there. It doesn't say that Moses obeyed. I'm presuming he did. But the miracle is this. Moses can take the rod, cast it on the ground, and it becomes a snake. It's a sign to these people. Folks, we live in a day where we don't need signs. We have the Word of God. My wife got a text message this afternoon. I think it was sent to a whole bunch of people. And it was a blessing to me because it was from a lady that was a member of our church in Maryland, her and her husband. You've heard me tell about her husband a little bit. He believed in direct revelation, which I can't get into right now, but it's not the way God works. And they had been members of our church for a couple of years, and then they got transferred to Germany. And they just came back from Germany last spring, and about a year ago, and they started going to the church again. And she simply commented that, just kind of glad to hear it, that she said when Pastor Schaefer was here that there was something real was happening here at Odenton Baptist Church. And then she commented that they're glad to be back. And folks, God can tell who we are, but people sometimes have to see God working through us. But people know when God's speaking. People, you know when you hear a message preached, if it's from the Bible or not. In Sunday school, we talked about that today. Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house was blessed because of Joseph. And the Bible is very plain. It says Potiphar could see, and I'm paraphrasing, that God was with Joseph. Joseph from there went to the prison. The prison keeper could see God was with Joseph. Folks, people can see when God's with us. Amen? You may doubt. You may think if I was to witness to somebody, they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't believe it was from God. They wouldn't believe that it was God's word or that God said that or that God sent me. That's Moses' concern. And you may wish you could throw a rod on the ground and make it turn into a snake. Or you may wish that you could put your hand in your bosom and it would come out leprous and it would go back in and come back out cured. Or you may wish you could pour water on the ground and see it turn into blood. And there again, I see some direct references to salvation and the shed blood of Christ. But you may wish you had signs like that. But folks, you have the Word of God. And here's what I believe. When you present the Word of God to somebody and they reject it, I don't even have to believe this. The Bible says this. When they reject it, Jesus says, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting Him. Amen? So when Jesus says to us to go, you may feel a whole lot like Moses. They won't believe that you sent me. Well, if they don't, they're fools, because if they would just dig a little bit, they'd find out how true this book is. And I'm guaranteeing you that that excuse is not a valid excuse. And then, before I move on, think about this. You say, if I told somebody that Jesus died to pay for their sins, they might not believe me. They might think I'm a fool. They might claim that I'm not telling the truth, or they might say that God didn't send me. Yeah, but they might believe. They might believe, amen? Some do. And if you could speak to 1,000 people and one got saved, wouldn't that be worth it? Oh, by the way, if you spoke to 1,000 people and none got saved, that'd be worth it too, because God said do it. Just think about Moses' approach here. God says, Moses, go. Oh, but Lord, they won't believe me. That's not Moses' problem. That's God's problem. Amen? You say, if I tell people, they might not believe me. That's not your problem. That's God's problem. Your problem is obey God and go. Amen? And God does bless. And I won't ask you to raise your hand, but some of us have led people to the Lord. Some of us have led people to the Lord this year. And that soul is worth all the rejection in the world. To have one less soul go to hell, that's worth it. It's not your job to get them to believe. It's your job to give them the message. It's God's job to get them to believe. You see that here plainly. God says to Moses, I'll take care of the miracles. You give the message. I'll take care of the proof. You just tell them what I said to say. And so this idea that they won't believe, that is not a valid excuse. And we've all said that. If I witness to somebody, what will they say? You're taking away from God when you do that. It's His responsibility what they say. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to convict. Amen? I can't do that. But I can give the message out, can't I? That's number one. Now, the second two begin in verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent. Here's what's funny. That's a very good word. Eloquent. I don't think you've used that word this week. I probably haven't. In other words, he speaks eloquently saying he's not eloquent. I'm not eloquent. It comes from the word elocution. It's how you pronounce, and you should pronounce your words clearly. And he says, Lord, I can't talk well. And he goes on. He says, neither heretofore. I mean, I haven't had any experience doing that. Nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. He says, I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Even before God answers, the thought comes to our mind, who made your tongue? And think about this. God says, Moses, I want you to go. First excuse, they won't believe me. Second excuse, well, God, you didn't make me well enough to go. You see what he's saying? In other words, I'm broken. You did not make me well enough to go. Do you think God knows you well enough? So when God says go, when God says to you or I to do something for him, I'll be more specific in just a second. He knows what we can do. He knew what Moses could do before he said, Moses, I've chosen you. Don't question God's call. We've all thought that. We've all thought, I can't do it. Folks, God knows what you can do better than you know what you can do. And oh, by the way, when God's with you, you can do what you can't do. Here's some thoughts. Maybe, for example, right now, at any given time in our church, we have needs. Right now, we have a number of needs. We need a bus driver. We need a bus captain. We need some help in our Sunday school department. We need some help with music. We need soul winners to go out and go on visitation on Tuesday nights and other times, Tuesday mornings and other times. And it could be, I'll just tell you how it worked in my life, but I think the chances are good that in our church, God is calling certain people to do certain things, and we make excuses sometimes. When I was attending church in Salt Lake City, the pastor got up one day and the pastor said, we need somebody to take charge of the bus ministry. And God spoke to me, and I don't know how to explain it to you, but I knew that was God wanting me to do that. And I went forward in a Sunday morning service one time, and the Lord spoke to me during the message, and I went to the pastor and at the altar and knelt down to pray, and he came over, and I said, I think God wants me to work in the bus ministry. I had no idea what to do. Now, this was in the good old days before you had to have a CDL to drive a bus. And they had an old bus. We spent many hours in that bus. We were running that bus route when we had to take our littlest child and strap him in a car seat in the bus as we drove around town in that bus. I didn't know how to drive a bus. I had driven a U-Haul truck before. It can't be too much different, right? This brother that drives trucks is laughing a lot, yeah? And I can handle this. I drove that bus into an apartment complex one day and was hoping to make it around the back of the apartments. And I drove all the way to the end of the apartment only to find out there was no going around to the back of the apartments. And I had to try to back that thing all the way back out to the street. You learn some things the hard way. But folks, God knows what we can do. God's reply is so perfect, of course. The Lord says to Moses in verse 11, who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? God knows all about us. And he didn't ask us to do it because he knew we couldn't. He asked us to do it because he knew that with him we could. We could. Amen? In other words, when God gives you a call, he knows what you can do and what you can't do. And by the way, once again, you need to learn to depend on him anyway. Paul, the apostle, who just about 95% sure that his malady was that he couldn't see well. And he would have loved to have been able to see well. Think of how hard it would be to do all the things Paul did and have horrible, horrible eyesight. So much so that you would be what we call today legally blind. Where you couldn't see a letter unless it was huge and you had your eyes right up to it. I knew a pharmacist like that one time that he was legally blind. He had to hold things right here to see him with his glasses on. And how would you travel and how would you speak to people and how would you read your Bible and all the rest? But God called Paul knowing his weaknesses. God knows our weaknesses. And he knows how to overcome them. We've got to finish up. We're out of time. So in verse 12, he says, "Now therefore go." God said that to Moses. "I will be thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say." Now this third one, this is the one that we tend to use as well. And I just remind you that verse 14, it made the Lord angry. Verse 13, Moses said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom? Of him whom thou wilt send." He's being polite, but what he's saying is this: send whoever you want to, but it doesn't have to be me. We've all used that excuse. Somebody else could do it. Right? Somebody else could do it. Somebody else could clean the church. Somebody else could knock on doors. Somebody else could, I don't know, be an usher. Somebody else could give. Somebody else, whatever. We've all used that excuse. And the Lord's angry about this one. It says in verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And I think verse 14 and 15 and 16 are not necessarily God solving a problem as so much as God judging Moses. The very first time that I ever had a chance to speak through an interpreter, I've told somebody this story, it was just a disaster. I just couldn't maintain a train of thought. It's very hard to speak through somebody else. You get used to you know what you're about to say, and you've got to stop and wait for them. And then sometimes you jump in too soon, or sometimes you get distracted and you lose your train of thought. And it's really hard to speak through an interpreter. After you've done it a while, it gets a little easier, but it's hard. And Moses is given now God's judgment that for the rest of his life, he's going to have somebody speak for him. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be? And here's the humorous thing. He's got to speak to Aaron. He's got to say it anyway. But then he's got to wait for Aaron to say it to the people. And that had to be difficult. Let's just read what God said. "The anger of the Lord was kindled in verse 14 against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother?" Just remembering that Moses was of the tribe of Levi. That's the tribe of the priests. "I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and whom he and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." Now, there you go. You may remember back in chapter 3, God said, you're going to be successful. The people are going to be let go. Now he's telling Moses, you know what? I already knew what you were going to say. I already knew your objections. I already had a plan in place to take care of that. Here comes Aaron. All the while they've been having this conversation, Aaron's been walking down the road, getting closer and closer and closer. In fact, as they have this conversation, Aaron is completing quite a long journey. Certainly days worth of travel, several at least, to go from Egypt to where Moses is here near Mount Sinai. And Aaron's been coming along the whole time. God already knew what Moses was going to say, and God already had an answer to his objections. And he says, okay, I've already got that figured out. We're going to have Aaron be your spokesperson. And hey, and guess what? Here he comes right now. That's kind of exciting. God already knows what to do, even when we're frustrating. Verse 15, "Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a God." So now there's the middleman. But let's look at some application here. Folks, God could have written the gospel in the sky. Would have not even been difficult. In fact, there are some people that can study the constellations and can show you the story of the gospel in the stars. God could have written the gospel in the sky. God could have put the gospel underneath every rock. People pick up the rock and they see the gospel on the back of that rock. God could have sent the angels. God, there are so many ways God could have gotten the work done, but he chose to use us. If it were not for Aaron, Moses couldn't speak. don't misunderstand me, but if it is not for us, God can't speak. That's a little bit of a misstatement, but the point is this. God depends on us to get the message out on his behalf. Amen? What if we're quiet? If we're silent, the message is silent. And you say, well, somebody else will do it. They really won't. Time and time and time and time and time again, we go to a door. I guarantee you, from the time we got there till the time that person died, nobody else will knock that door. I think now I'm up to 3 times in my life, and that's 60 years, 3 times in my life somebody's come to my door with the gospel. That's really a rather high number. Happened to me once in Dallas, happened to me once here. I thought of a third one and I've forgotten what it was. But at any rate, just 2 or 3 times in my entire life. Not a lot of people out there giving the gospel. And if you and I don't go, there may not be anybody else. And that doesn't even matter. God said go. Amen? Please, please take that seriously. It's going to be so sad when you step into eternity and you think of the countless opportunities that you could have given out the gospel. You didn't do so. Just do this if, as a start. Get a handful of these gospel tracts off the Welcome Center back there in the foyer. Put them in your pocket and hand them out this week. Amen? When you go to the store, the restaurant, or whatever, just give out a gospel tract. Be nice to folks. I go to Lowe's a whole lot to buy stuff for the church or for my house. And for some reason, I find it really easy to be friendly to the people at Lowe's. And time again, I've gotten, the checker would be checking me out, and we get to talking, and I'd say, hey, I'm the pastor. You can't say this. I can. I'm the pastor of a church nearby. You can say I'm a member of a church nearby. I'm the pastor of a church nearby. Why don't you come visit with us sometime? And people are so gracious. Thank you. I'll do that. They don't always do it, but some will. Let's get the gospel out. Amen. All right, we got to finish up. So in verse 17, God says, thou shalt take this rod in thine hand wherewith thou shalt do signs. And Moses departs. And you might say it this way, he's hired. He got the job. He had the job the whole time. He didn't want the job. He got the job. Can you imagine a Bible without Moses? Well, God knew. And can you imagine there's some soul that's depending upon you and I to bring them the gospel this week? We need to do it this week. Amen? Somebody needs to hear it from us this week. And there's somebody that you can reach this week that I can't reach. Brother Mike's leaving here again Tuesday, right? He's going to go to Long Beach, and then he's going to get in his truck, and he's going to go all the way to, what you said, Michigan? Okay. Somewhere along the way, Mike, somebody needs to hear the gospel, amen? And you can hand him a tract and say, hey, praise the Lord, come visit our church. Come out to Arizona and see us, or better yet, read this and meet Christ. Amen? He's got one in his pocket. Amen. It works, doesn't it? Folks, that's the job God gave us. Don't make excuses. Let's bow for a word of prayer.